Camp Chat Radio Show is brought to you in association with Plan Insurance, who you can call on 0800 542 2869 or find them on the web at planinsurance.co.uk.
Right, good evening. You're listening to Camp Chat Radio Show live from the LCDC's office on this Monday, the 11th of November. In the, it's not a studio really, it's got a nice echo here, but in the room with me, I have Mr. Grant Davis.
Evening, Jamie.
And Mr. Danny O'Regan.
Evening, Jamie.
And Grant's playing with his microphone as usual, making loads of noise.
Sorry about that.
And Mr. Dan Severin from Plan Insurance. Dan from Plan.
Good evening, everyone. And Jamie.
Otherwise known as Mr. Recap, Dan.
Yeah, been called worse.
He has it. I just heard it.
Yeah, it's definitely been called worse. So yesterday was Poppy Cabs Day, and I was there, and so was Mr. Dan from Plan.
Yes, very nice. Much better than last year. The weather, anyway.
Yeah, the weather was nice weather last year.
Wasn't it a bit raining to start with?
Can't remember.
When I was marshalling.
Was it?
Quite
when
cold
he was marshalling. Yeah, well, you did have the option of driving Pam, but Pam broke down, and we couldn't get it going in time. So
I'll tell you what I thought was a bit of a sea change was the amount of publicity the cab trade's got.
It's great, wasn't it?
From ITV, the BBC.
Yep.
And even really today, Piers Morgan and stuff.
Yep.
Giving
LBC.
The cab trade a G. I mean, before, BBC and stuff wouldn't touch us with a barge pole, would you?
Must be the Plan effect. We got involved a little while.
Then all of a sudden, you know, they're saying, you know, what great thing.
It was real nice. Real good turnout as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, but we need that. I think the getting the good publicity on the big media is great, isn't it? You know what I mean? Because we all know what the cab trade does. It's trips to Hastings, Southend, Worthing and beyond. We all know what we do. But it's nice that other people know what we want to do because you never know who's watching.
Yeah.
They might want to come next year and say, you know what? We'd like to put some money into the charity. What could we do, guys?
Yeah.
You know.
I think with social media and that, it's really helped, doesn't it?
Yeah, like, it does.
Yeah, sharing it on stuff. So cab drivers getting behind it really helps.
I think it's very, very positive. I can't see a negative of it. And it's been a long time coming, and hopefully next year it gets bigger and bigger.
Yeah, bigger. Well, it was the 10th year this year, wasn't it? They said, yeah, 10 years.
Yeah, it's all right. I was just setting up the Periscope video, and it's now gone live on Periscope as well. So if you wanna watch on Periscope, you can do so.
Not while driving.
And I think even you know while we're here, I'd like to just say on behalf of probably everyone, you know, well done, Mike Hughes.
Oh, definitely.
Just the best.
Yeah, I mean, he's
you know, he's a remarkable man, and. You know, we only sponsor the vests, the Marshall's vest, the club. It's a small thing, but it all helps.
Yeah.
And you know, he's got loads of energy. You can phone him at any time of the day or night. He's always hospitable. His heart's in the right place, and he's great.
And well, if you still want a Poppy Cabs pin badge, there are still some available as well. And you got one.
No.
Oh, you got a buy
I've
one,
got one in my bag if you want to buy it off me.
I've got some in the cab.
Oh, yeah.
Not this one, in that bag.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I've got,
I'll invest.
They're £95.
Do you take checks?
This is what they look like.
Do you take checks?
This is what they look like on the camera. There you go.
Show me on the
Periscope.
Front.
On Periscope, if you're watching on Periscope. There you go, that's what it looks like. See, look, like that.
Oh, that's very nice, isn't it?
Yeah. They're a suggested minimum donation of £6, which is distributed to the Royal British Legion and also the taxi charity for military veterans as well.
That's great.
So, worthwhile causes, both of them. So, if you want one, I've still got some. Have you got some left?
I think we've got three left. We sold ours in the office.
Left. Yeah.
We've got three left.
Or two left now.
Two left.
I'm going to make a late bid.
That's it. He's gazumped me on selling one of my last ones I had left. Yeah. So really well done all the drivers that turned up as well yesterday. Fantastic. And a big well done to Parker Cabby as well for some absolutely fantastic photographs that he took yesterday.
Really, yeah, the photos really online were really good.
Really
that I
good
saw.
Photographs yeah. that he took. So well done to John.
Yeah, definitely.
And just a quick mention before we carry on. John and Joe have got a new Christmas song coming out on the 22nd of November as the Jukebox Party Band, called An Old Fashioned Christmas. So look out for that on the 22nd of November. We'll be playing
we'll
it on Cab Chat.
On Twitter, you can download it and stuff like
well,
that.
Well, you can buy it.
Buy it.
You can't download it. Yeah, you can download it on iTunes
buy
and
it?
Things
Does
like
you,
that.
Do you buy records still or CDs?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, not CDs. You can buy a download.
Buy a download.
Are they doing a single for Christmas?
Yeah, they done one last
the
year. Yeah,
the old 50p out of Woolworths single.
50p out of Woolworths. You need to talk into the front of that microphone, Grant, to make it to work properly, otherwise it don't work.
Is that better?
That's better.
Sorry about that.
Yeah. See, look, it keeps messing with it. Look.
There you go. Beautiful.
Grant's going to be buying the pizzas or Kentucky Fried Chicken a little bit later, courtesy of Mr. Scott Fenwick again, out of his subs this month. So well done, Scott.
Well done, Scott.
Thanks for that, Scott.
Much appreciated.
Really
thanks,
appreciate
Scott. Yeah.
Thanks, Scott.
Get large fries, Scott.
Fries,
thank
fries,
you
Scott.
Very
yeah,
much.
It's really appreciated. And you're just to let you know that your membership money does go to good use. Thanks very
does
much.
Does go putting our cholesterol levels yeah. through the roof,
yeah,
Scott. Thank you,
to
mate.
Really, really good use. Yeah.
While they're taking our badges away for ill health with our medicals.
Yeah, we're
be out there cracking away.
Yeah, you carry on working, mate, and keep paying your subs so
hold
that we can have pizza. When we come up here and do the show. So thanks very much, Scott. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, that. Scott.
And Grant's just been given a Poppycab pin badge. Danny didn't want one. I think he's been tight, to be honest with you.
I've got three left.
Yeah, I've got three left as well. So if anyone wants one, rush up to the LCDC. Yeah. Obviously, you can buy one.
Come up, have a cup of tea in the club,
yeah,
get a poppy pin badge and come on there.
And come on here and maybe even have a bit of pizza, courtesy of Scott Fenwick.
Yeah, maybe.
She's all his subs.
Yeah, all of his subs. She's all of his subs up. So, the badge came out last week, front page.
Yeah,
what did the front page say, Grant?
What is it? Can you see
it? It says, Taxi for Helen. After BBC expose is head of TfL's licensing position untenable?
Well, we think it does, actually, on a lot of levels. And if you get the badge and you have a look at page 4 and 5, I'll just put it there. If you look at the story on the right, or your left, whatever way you
hundreds of London minicabs could be working illegally. Yeah.
But then this one makes really interesting reading.
Which says, deja vu,
as you see,
totally fake in London.
This was from 2016 when the club had a demo at Palestra.
Yep, when you wore doctor's coats.
And nothing's changed. And if you look down the bottom, this was from the Sun as well, where they was getting topographical tests and English tests for nothing, you know, just paying
well
for
paying
it.
For them, yeah.
And Helen Chapman was the head of licensing then. She's the head of licensing now.
Yep.
And we feel the buck has to stop with someone.
Yep.
Public, when you know, Jamie, you're old enough now, like me, driving a cab for many years.
Not
it
as
used
old
to
as you.
Be, I think you're about 40 years, weren't you? But I mean, it was, we was under the public carriage office. And the reason it was called the public carriage office was it was there for the public. Not us, but the safety of the public.
Well, it was set up after the Festival of Britain when people travelling from the Festival of Britain, which was in Hyde Park, yeah, history lesson
there
for
you.
Here, in Hyde Park at the Crystal Palace, that was moved to Crystal Palace, that's why the area became known as Crystal Palace, the taxi drivers did not know where they were going. So the public carriage office was set up to protect the travelling public. And that's when the knowledge of London started as well.
There you go.
I believe. I might be wrong about the setting up of the public carriage office, but I know that's when the knowledge of London was started.
But the point I'm trying to make is that the remit was to protect the public, yeah? Safe vehicles, licensed drivers, licensed vehicles,
yeah.
Regulated fares, all that, you know. Like I've said before, if you was going to invent London again, if London was a new town, right, and it come to your desk and they said, right, you're going to have to invent a taxi service. What are we going to do? If you look at the way that we're regulated, where they're only going to be able to use regulated and approved vehicles.
Yep.
The fare's going to be set by an authority. The drivers are going to be checked and tested and regulated. All going to be above board, insured. You would go with that.
Yep.
And again, as I've mentioned in the badge, I think I've called TfL a overblown quango, because I feel that we've been absolutely slaughtered by Transport for London over these last years. If it isn't the health, like we pointed out, the licences, it's the unregulation of Uber, and it goes on and on and on. And yet it's the cab trade and the cab drivers who've had to take it on the chin. Transport for London's lack of regulation.
It's a catalogue of failures.
Catalogue of failures.
I mean, topographical testing. You know, they had to suspend 21 centres, accredited centres, not 2 years ago. And they allowed for 8 centres and they gave approval to 8 centres. And that was supposed to solve the problems. But then they outsourced it, allowed BTECs to carry on doing the topical track testing outside that perimeter. So it's natural. It was open for abuse. And, you know, the next one will be the English test.
You made a point, Dan, about the cost. What was that you said to me the other week? About you buy a BTEC course. If you'd done it through TfL, it cost you what, 200?
It costs about £75 for the test, for the topographical test. And it's roughly about £180 to £200 for the English test. So if you wanted to become a private hire driver, you would effectively spend in the region about £250. That's other than the normal, your DBS, etc. But if you want to go and get a BTEC, you're looking at £500 plus your DBS and your licence fees. So it's double getting a BTEC. And you've got to ask yourself, well, why would you go and get paid double to become a licensed driver when you could do half the price?
Yeah.
You know, that rings the bells, alarm bells straight away. Especially if it's outsourced to these colleges, where it isn't under the jurisdiction of TfL and TfL testing. It was bound to happen.
We've driven up Stratford High Street or something, and above a kebab shop it says, get your TfL private eye licence here, 100% pass rate. The reason you can say is 100% pass rate, because we're giving you the answers. You can't foul. And I've done an email, I think you might have seen it, Dan, last week on the back of all this. I sent an email to Mike Brand, the GLA, Ellen Chapman and everyone. Part of that, I mentioned that why does it have to be either the Sun newspaper in 2016 or the BBC in 2019 that highlights the skullduggery that's going on? Surely it's got to be in the remit of the compliance officers to do a few secret shopper visits to these colleges.
Was there no audits done? Did they never do any audits? Or
no.
No?
You know, you're telling me that if we hear what's going on at certain places, they don't hear. And they can't send up a couple of compliance officers to sign up at these colleges.
They send compliance officers to minicab firms, don't they, to carry out audits. So why don't they do it to this?
Why would they? I mean, if you read the editorial in the badge, my end parting shot is that you would think that Sadiq Khan would do something, that TfL would do something. But when you look that TfL were in a black hole of about £1 billion in debt to get this churn of private eye licences through the door every week, I think they're, what, 500 a week, Dan?
Yeah, roughly. It's about 470 the last week. And I mean, I think it's over 13,000 this year. Certainly over 13,000 this year. New applicants what been accepted onto... accepted and been granted a licence. But, I mean, it's easy. There's an easy fix. Bring all testing, topographical and English, in-house.
Yeah.
Not specifically in-house. I mean, you could effectively take the test at an accredited centre or approved centre, but a member of the TfL staff just oversees the test, the assessment, a 2-hour assessment.
Yeah,
that's all. A vigilator. Yeah, that's all you need. And then there wouldn't be these problems. It's
why do you think they're not seeing that option?
You know, it's well, you think like as we said, you know, it's been a catalogue of failures. You'd think that would be easy, an easy remedy. But whether I mean,
if Transport was if TfL was a privately run company, right? There's no way on earth some of these people would be keeping their jobs. And I put Ellen Chapman at the top of that list, right? All the failures that we've had, and you know, Dan, we've been at meetings with TfL where they promise you the earth, don't they? Don't worry about that. That's in place. That'll be here by the end of the year. Nothing happens. All they do is kick the tin down the road. As we've seen in recent years, Leon Daniels has gone. Garrett Emerson's gone. Mason went.
Mike Brown's going.
And we are still left holding the baby in the cab trade, yeah? Because when you go to meetings and go, he said, and you, they say to you, who said? And you go, Peter Blake. Well, Peter Blake, he's not here. Well, Garrett Emerson, well, he's not here. So they make decisions that slaughter the cab trade, and then they say, oh, well, they're gone now. So that don't count, yeah?
Right, can I just say a couple of things? If you're listening via Periscope, please don't put messages on Periscope because I can't read them. I ain't got my glasses with me and the camera's facing away and the phone's facing away from me, so I can't read them. If you want got something to say,
you
please
want me to
phone
in. Periscope on my phone and I'll look at the questions.
You can do, yeah.
Oh, okay, I'll do that then.
If you want to call in, someone did just try calling in, but I'd forgotten to plug the phone in, so I've just done it. If you want to call in,
Jamie's getting a job at TfL next week.
Communications manager at TfL, however you know. So if you want to call in, the number's 0208 144 8294. That's 0208 144 8294. You can call in the show, you come straight through to us, and you can speak to either Grant, Danny, or Recap Dan from Plan if you've got any insurance questions, because I know some people did have some insurance questions, didn't they?
Yeah, I've got a real LTDA one to do later.
Yeah. We'll later on. And also, just a bit of news, have you seen the latest Uber share price?
26.49.
He's only got to go down a little bit more before they're in big, big trouble. So,
Did you hear Kalanick sold something like 500 million shares, didn't he, last week?
Did he?
Yeah.
He's apparently setting up a new company.
Yeah,
he wants to set up restaurants to do the food deliveries.
Right. Does he work in competition to Uber?
Uber Eats, yeah. I mean, I'll tell you what, though. What surprises me, when you look at that model, right, you can see why you could say shops want to be able to offer a delivery service of their stuff. Because you think, theoretically, they'll sell more, right?
Yeah, but they don't.
But they don't. And I spoke to a restaurant guy the other week, and he regrets the day he ever started it, because he said, when people used to come into his fish shop and sit down and have something to eat, they'd order a starter. You might have a beer and your wife might have a glass of wine. You might have a bit to start, have a dessert maybe, or a coffee and a meal. And all them little extras, the starters, the desserts, the coffees, the wines, that all increases the profit margin.
Yeah.
When now they're just going, I'll have one, just say, one cod and chips, one haddock and chips. That's it.
Mm.
That's all they sell.
But have you noticed the increase in scooters around London?
Oh.
Eh? With organ donors on board, riding them. Yeah. Because they literally seem to have no fear and they just go head on towards cars. And it's just, there's ranks of them. This most motorcycle parking bays in high streets is full up with food delivery scooters now.
I know.
There's hundreds of the bloody things, thousands of them.
I took my boys out the other week, and on the way home, they said, Dad, can we have McDonald's, right? I said, oh, God, come on in. Went in there. While I'm still waiting in the queue, more and more of these cyclists are coming in, and they go, order 1784, and they go, yeah, that's me. With like a humongous carry bag full of food.
Yep.
In the end, I went to the woman and said, what's going on? I've been waiting here 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Have I read it wrong? But I thought this was a fast food restaurant, yeah? If you're going to just serve Deliveroo here or Uber Eats here, you know what? I won't come back again. And I've said to the kids, I'm not coming back here again.
Yeah.
You're waiting while they service all the Deliveroo riders and you're left roasting in the shop.
Yep.
Ridiculous. Ridiculous.
Yeah, I know. So, back to Helen Chapman and her position at TFL.
Yeah, we know nothing's going to happen. Deep down, we all know, sitting in this room, the buck's going to be passed. She'll say, TFL are upset, looking into it. But we know that's baloney.
Do you think it's really her decision, or whether it's people above her telling her what to do?
Well, I think she's quite as high up as she can be now, can't she?
I think so.
She's the head of, I think it's licensing and charging and something else. Yeah?
Is she really?
And yeah. She got
Graham Robinson's TPH now, isn't he? So she's above Graham. So,
really?
Yeah, so.
And also, it was an article that I put in the badge, right? And I believe really strongly about this, right? So where's the camera, Jack?
There.
It's that article there, right?
Which says Euro 6 is the future, but not for us. And just as a point of interest on that, I mean, we've as a taxi trade, have delicensed how many cabs, Dan?
Is it
2005?
Yeah, in a region of... Well, since the ZEC requirement came in, what was that, beginning of 18, something like 4,500 cabs have come off. That,
right, how many did we actually de-license? How many did the current de-license?
Roughly about 2,400 or something
right.
In that
and
region.
In that same period, TFL have licensed 3,856 new diesel private hire vehicles.
Last year, it was over 9,000.
New diesel private
hire vehicles. For the first time, which is... Like I put in the article, half the cab trade, half the cab fleet, and in the article I was saying that I was coming into work one morning and heard this advert on LBC, Every Journey Matters, and the mayor's office is saying, if you want to upgrade, some van owner comes on and says, yeah, I want to do my bit for toxic air in London, I'm going to take up the mayor's office, a micro business, $3,500 to buy myself a new Euro 6 diesel van, right? And as I've said, I went online and looked at the vans, right? Look at these big beauties, look.
Yeah.
Look how big they are, look. Yep. So the TFL was saying to me, if I wanted to buy that big tipper truck, right, I'd get $3,500 up with that Euro 6. But if I wanted to buy that Mercedes Euro 6 cab...
You can't have it.
Can't do it. Or that one to do my deliveries. Or that one... To do my deliveries.
Yeah.
I can't have it.
But, you
now,
know...
I think it's disgraceful.
Now, looking at something that Caroline Russell put on Twitter the other day about reducing traffic and car usage in London, and that there should be more bus routes, more frequent buses going to popular places in London. Now, we already know that the vast majority of the day, buses run around empty. Now, buses are far more polluting... than taxis are. Yeah, we know that. No matter what TFL says, you know, they've got
an handful of hydrogen buses.
Yeah, they try to prove taxis are the most...
When they go on strike, you know, when they had the strike days...
Traffic improves.
Traffic and pollution. And you just look at the...
So what she's... What she,
then significantly, yeah.
So what she's condoning is actually putting more empty buses on the road, yeah, rather than reducing... The problem with congestion, yeah? Because more buses on the road creates more congestion. It's not going to do away with car usage because we know that people like to go A to B, whether that be in a taxi, private hire vehicle, or in their own private car. Putting more buses on the road, creating more congestion, rather than tackling the issue that TFL are licensing too many private hire vehicles that are sitting around in traffic and causing congestion in London most of the daytime. Whether they say that most of these private hire vehicles don't work in central London or not, we know that the vast majority of them come into central London because there isn't as much work in the suburban areas as what there is in central London. You've only got to look at the number of suburban drivers compared to green badge drivers. Was it 3,000 suburban drivers at the moment compared to, was it 19,000 green badge drivers?
Yeah, just on that.
So,
that's about right.
Yeah, but again, the conundrum is for TFL, whilst... They won't address it. They're happy to get their licence fees and they'd be happy to take the congestion charge fees off of them coming in. It's a bit of a love-hate relationship we've got.
Just since the announcement of the 12-year rule, which was sort of February, private hire fleet has gone up over 7,000. I think it's over 6,000. Just under 7,000.
There you go.
So that's a third of our fleet.
Yep.
And how many? In literally 8 months, it's gone up more.
And our fleet's decreased by 3,000.
Is declining significantly, isn't it? You know, it's gone down from 22, it's down to 19, in the 19s. But, I mean, they give these emission targets and what we're going to be... They say we're going to be something like 60% of all transport pollution in say 2025.
That's impossible.
But what they're doing, James, they're basing it on what they think the bus fleet is going to. They say, well, it's going to be, they're going to be Euro 6, they're going to be hybrid, you know.
We've still got 51 plate buses running around in London at the moment. So how can they say that?
But what they haven't done and what they haven't factored in, they've omitted it to me, is that they haven't factored in the number of cabs in the fleet in 5 years' time. So, say for instance, they're saying we're going to be 60% responsible for the emissions in London. I've asked them, well, how many cabs do you know what are going to be in the fleet in 5 years' time? And it was like I was talking Chinese to them. They said, well, we're going by the fleet, how it is, and the makeup. And how it's weighted, whether it's Euro 5, Euro 6 in the fleet now. I said, no, you're not taking anything into consideration with regard to how many numbers there are. They was, what do you mean? I said, well, you know fully well the knowledge sits down significantly.
Yep.
You know full well only 200 people signed on last year, 290. It's slightly up this year. It's in the region about 400. But the last few years, it's 400 this year, 200 the last year, 300, 400 the year before, 700. So in the last 4 years, there's only been in the region about 2,000 people signing on. And as you know, only three out of 10 get through. So, you know, in the next 4 years, as it's going, if they take longer, you know, you're only going to see, such a drop in numbers.
Big time.
But then they don't. They don't collate that with the actual vehicles.
Yep.
So they're going to say, they make it out that we're going to be the biggest, you know, polluter, but they haven't taken that into consideration.
Yep.
And they don't want to address it. That's just shameful.
I know.
And the shameful thing is, though, I'll be honest, the shameful thing is that these are the points that Danny's making and we're making at TFL, but we're the only organisation that are raising it. The others want to put their head in the sand.
Mm.
They don't want to know.
Well, we've seen articles from one and tweets from one particular organisation that seems to condone that every taxi driver should convert over to an electric vehicle. And I was talking to someone from a car manufacturer the other day, and he actually said that most car manufacturers don't believe that electric vehicles are the future. They don't believe that electric vehicles are the future. They state that there's never, ever going to be the infrastructure there to support electric vehicles in major cities.
I think it was Norway or someone. I think it's Norway. They all went over and converted to electricity. And it's one of them islands up there. I think it is Norway, right? Surrounded by the North Sea. Big oil deposits, right? They've gone on this great big green roadmap, right? I think it's like 80% or 85% of their cars are electric. They are now having to import electricity from Poland because they are not generating enough electricity
to
function as a country.
Yeah.
I mean, what lunacy is this?
Mm.
And when you look at it, there was an article I read the other week. It's in the Daily Mail, or it was in the Times, but I've reprinted it in the badge, right? Big double-page article. And it says, this year alone, the Treasury, HMRC Treasury, take £28 billion from fuel duty.
Yeah.
Do you think they're going to lose that?
No.
How can they lose it?
Bristol has just announced they're going to be the first city to become a diesel-free zone.
Yeah, good luck with that. Yeah.
And Bristol is already one of the cities that's most the most one of the most expensive cities in the UK to live in. House prices are through the roof there, and the cost of living. If you got, you know, I was talking to someone from the AA a little while ago, and the AA has had a big problem since the ULEZ was introduced in London, because any patrol that works in or around London has had to have a compliant vehicle, a Euro 6 diesel van. And the AA are on a programme of, they keep their vans for 4 years, I think. So a patrol might have a van that was, you know, 3 years old, which wasn't compliant because it might be a late Euro 5 that he was driving around. So what's actually happened is it's caused upset within their staff, because all of their new vans that are coming through have had to be diverted to London, and they've taken Euro 5 vans, late Euro 5 vans, off of patrols in London and given them to patrols outside of London that were due a brand new van. And of course, they're all annoyed because they're not getting their new van. They're getting a three-year-old van, and all the patrols in London or work in or around London about to have the new vans. Now, that's caused them a logistical problem. So we got a call coming in. So we'll take the call.
Tell them I'll be on. It's your mum. Eight.
Right. Hello, you're through to Cab Chat. Who's that calling the show?
Hello.
Hello, you're through to Cab Chat. Who's that?
It's Darren from Texas ringing.
Who's that? Is that Darren Lazarus?
Yes, who's that?
Hello, it's Grant. I said you listened to the show, yeah?
You sound like you're in Australia.
Well, no, it's because he's...
Near enough, Bermondsey. What's happening, Darren?
Are you on the toilet?
No. People say I talk a lot of crap, but I'm not on the toilet. I'm in the office with Jamie and Danny Scarf and Dan from Plan, and we're talking about the cab trade. What's wrong with it, Darren? You got anything to add?
Only my thing is the cab we're driving. We haven't got good enough cab. That's the only thing I can see.
Yeah, but haven't you... I know you've got a garage, new garage ID. Where are you based now, Darren?
Say that again, sorry, Grant.
Where's your new garage? Where have you moved your garage to now?
I'm on A13, just by a Beckton roundabout.
Okay, ID taxis, yeah?
Yeah, we had to move out because all the rent up in where Bethnal Green is, it's all getting pushing us out, unfortunately, so I had to move.
Blimey. But, Darren, you rent cabs out. Have you not thought of renting out a few electrics, going up to LEVC, getting a small fleet?
No, because the reason for that is it's just too expensive for us, and even taxi drivers as well, to make them pay £350 a week to go to work, and being duped into saying you're saving money, it's not right.
Yeah, but don't the drivers are saying, I know a few, and they're saying since they bought an LEVC, they're saving money on fuel and...
But how are they, though? Tell me that, when they can't even get to charging points and they can't... They're standing there for an hour losing whatever you're losing an hour rate at the minute, which obviously I know we're going through a bit of tough time, but you're still losing money for that hour. So how are you saving money?
I don't know. I ain't bought one. Dan, have you got one?
No.
No, but you know, people say that you're saving money, but... All right, you're saving money, but where? The cab you've got to look at for us to put on a monthly income is over a grand, say just under a grand, £1,100 a month you've got to start paying out for. Then you've got to pay to charge it. Then you've got to pay to stop and lose time out of your day to your income to charge the thing. And there's not enough charging points, and I don't think there ever will be.
What cab do you drive, Darren?
I've got a 13-plate Vito.
Give you much trouble? You happy with that? What do you reckon?
I'm very happy. The way I see my cab, I might not speak for others.
No.
But the way I see my cab is, even if it's costing me money a week to run, I'm still better off running my cab that's freehold, and I haven't got the monthly out big payments of paying out for a cab at the moment where I don't need to. You know, it's tough.
I mean, I don't know if you've read the badge yet, Darren, but in there, I was raising an issue that since January 2018, we haven't been allowed to buy any diesels, not even Euro 6. Yep. And yet the private eye have licensed just over 10,000 diesel cabs for the cars. Sorry, God, blimey. Diesel cars. And yet we're not allowed one for what's getting on for nearly 2 years. Do you think we might have been in a better place if we'd been allowed to either buy a Euro 6 Vito? Because I know London Taxi Company stopped building TX4s, right? So do you think in 2018 we should have had a choice of a Euro 6 Vito or an LEVC vehicle, Darren?
Well, look, the thing that gets up my nose is the fact that if you go around, I mean, I buy and sell taxis as well, and I sell to all over Scotland, everywhere else in the country. They're still allowed to buy them, use them. And you've got Sadiq being able to use his Euro 6 via van. So how different are we to them? How different are we to them? That's my gripe, because at the moment, we haven't got a really, unfortunately, we haven't got a cab for us to use or buy that's affordable. So why aren't we allowed to use Euro 6? We're talking about not having a turning circle. With a Euro 6 Vito, you can still get them and use them in Edinburgh and all over those places. So why can't we use them in London? It's got the emissions levels really low. And the most thing that annoys me more than anything is that Sadiq Khan making us buy all these electric vehicles is because of him in the first place has created the beast of Uber that's given us all the traffic on the road anyway to push our emission levels up.
Yeah,
so we're getting
good point.
Down that road.
Good point. You don't put 100,000 minicabs on the road and not expect a few traffic jams now and again.
Well, yeah, that's it. The emission level's gone up because of him, and he's making us pay.
Boy, and are we paying.
Not wrong.
I mean, I've got a Vito as well, but people that I know with Euro 6s, I mean, mechanically, they say they don't go wrong. I mean, and as you know, as a cabbie, working cabbie, you want sort of a bit of a workhorse, don't you? Something that you go to work in and trust it.
I mean, what's going back to the LEVC, what we're getting, basically we're getting bought to buy by stealth at the moment because there's no other cabs for us to buy. And they come up to my garage here and they've got no cabs to rent. Other fleets got no cabs to rent. People can't afford to go out and buy a new vehicle. So I know people that have come outside here, literally, can't find a cab, having to rent an LEVC now. And it's what they want deep down, I think. They want us to do it by stealth, buy this vehicle. But the fact of the matter is, the Vito, or even a TX4, I know we've had a bit of bad luck with a TX4, but it's a working-looking vehicle that we can all afford, you know?
Yeah.
And it upsets me that every taxi driver that goes in there has got to put £58,000 on the drip or whatever they're doing it just to make a living. My dad, he's driving a 59 plate. He's been in the game a long time. He's got, I mean, his badge number is three numbers. He's hoping to get another 2 years out of his cab. He's now, he hasn't worked hard, but he's, you know, he's had a nice life being a cab driver. We have a nice life. But he's having forced to use these companies that come in and buy your property for like X amount of money. And then when he passes away, he gets to keep it. He's got no choice. That's what TfL has done to him. So I am so angry with what they've done on the vehicle that we're driving. I don't care about Uber because we're winning that. I think we're winning that and we're going to carry on to win that. But, you know, where do we go from there? That's another thing. My dad's the other end of the scale. He can't afford to go and spend £58,000 in the cab. He's getting forced off the road in 2 years' time. And this is a man who's been a cab driver for 40 years.
Wow. Now, you make some great points, Darren. And, like, your family are cab drivers. So you and your dad and your brother, you know, you're not an idiot. You know what you're talking about. And you've been a cab driver a long time. You know how to
20 years I've been a cab driver.
Oh, you're a butter boy. But, I mean, the thing is, you know what you have to do to make a business pay for itself. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And I said to Ellen Chapman, you've done a great job. I've never thought I'd see the day where TfL make self-employed people redundant. And that's what they've done to us. And they don't care, Darren. And I'll tell you what, when they brought this 12-year age limit, I would still feel if the other trade orgs want to join together with the club and we take it to court, put your money where your mouth is, let's do a legal challenge. Because when I bought my cab, I was told I had 15 years on it.
Yeah, that's right. And
I done it, and in the back of my mind, it was like you do. We all get that envelope, turn it over, get a pen out and go, right, I'm paying that a month. That's going to finish in 3 years' time. And someone like myself, I could say, right, I've got freehold for 4 years on that. I'll set a standing order up, because I'm no spring chicken. I'll put a standing order for, say, 500 quid a month into a pension. So when that plate comes off and that cab goes to the cab rank in the sky, I've put away in them 4 years, say what, nigh on 25 grand in a pension that's going to help me when I retire. Now, through this, Transport for London's taking away any chance cab drivers got of trying to put a money, getting a few quid behind them when their cab becomes freehold. Yeah?
Well, answer me this, Grant, then. Remember years ago we had the underbonnet fires and someone took the case on because they're all coming off the road.
Yeah.
And they put the case out and they got the money back for them. Why has not someone done that towards this ruling? This is what I can't understand. Well, this is more important than underbonnet fires, and they won that case. Pick my dad's being out of work for this TFL's, well, don't get me started, but can you imagine for me how upsetting it is for my dad who's been driving all these years to come and tell me that story? I'm livid, I'm so angry inside. You don't, can you imagine if it's your own dad
that's
been in the trade all this time? It makes me so angry. He thought it was the last cab he was going to ever use. So why have we not got someone out there fighting this? Look at the LTDA, right? You've got all the money backing them behind, as we all know, as you go on about. We know all what they've got sitting there. You've got is Steve McNamara banging on about his electric cab. But this is what I don't understand. He's banging on about that. He doesn't care about cab drivers' pockets. He just wants that cab sold on the road. But it's not going to let that happen in 10 years' time. Let the working cab drivers that have got their cabs now, that are going to be the last few stages of their life to do whatever they plan, they can't just pull the rug from under their feet and say, right, sorry guys, that's it, no more work, you've finished in 2 years' time, you're end of the road, or you've got to go and spend 60 grand. It doesn't make sense.
Well, like I've said, I'd be only too willing to fight this with other trade groups. I really would, because
I know this is important.
But I don't know why Steve won't fight it. I mean, he said that if they up the scrappage money, it'd be easier for drivers. But even if you're getting what, 10 grand, 9 grand, Dan, for a scrappage.
Well, it stands for in the eights now.
It's down to the 8 grand. How can you give a cab up for 3 years and just get 8 grand? As a thank you very much, yeah? When I bought my Vito, when you buy it for 15 years, that was the cab they told you to buy. We never had a choice, right?
It wasn't the cab they told you to buy. It was the cab they told you you had to buy.
Yeah, the cab
you had no choice of what cab to buy.
The only cab you could buy, a TX or a Vito. And I'll never forget with Boris, when he reduced it to 15 years, he accepted that part of our bargain was that we had 2 MOTs a year. So if there was any cabs, probably predominantly fleet cabs, older fleet cabs, right, where they wasn't looked after and they have their overall, so they meet all the emissions targets, right? But if they don't go back in the garage, it's very easy after 5, 6, 7 months where they become more smoky, more pollutant, because they've not been serviced. But as you know, with a garage, if you service it after 6 months and have to have a new MOT test, it's got to meet the emissions requirement, right?
Well, look.
So that's the agreement we made, yeah?
We were supposed to have five models as well.
All the in the trade, whether they're trading their cab up to buy something newer or they're selling it just to get out the game. And What upsets me more as well is I've got people that are in their last few years of their cab driving, like that have got 04 TX4s that would have had another year even. And some of these TX2s, you know, these TX2s are like kept immaculate. There's no reason why the thing could come off the road. And they ring me up and say, right, what's your cab worth? Well, unfortunately, to that taxi driver, it's worth thousands and thousands.
It's worth a year's money, isn't it?
But to something else, it's worth, you can't even give it away. But this is a vehicle that shouldn't be coming off the road full stop. It's only because he's created the beast to come off the road. So you've got drivers now that are using these cabs to back up the weekend work where the work's there for us. And now you come out on a Saturday night to work, Sunday night to work. Yes, all right, it's lovely, it's busy. But that's not good because we haven't got the coverage like we used to, where you've got drivers coming in that would take a cab for the weekend, because we haven't simply got that amount of cabs on the road in the whole of Fleet of London. So it's killing the trade dead.
It's the death of part-time drivers and older drivers. If you've obviously budgeted your lifespan on the vehicle, you're saying, well, I'll retire at 65, comes to 63 and your cab's going to come off. What are you going to do for the next 3 years? You got to either go back to renting and fall flat, what's that, for 250?
You've got to find one, though.
Yeah. We knew as soon as they announced the de-licensing scheme, forget the 12-year rule, this was just the de-licensing scheme prior to the 12-year rule coming. We knew straight away there'll be problems with supply. You know, historically there was always 17% more drivers than vehicles. So it works that way.
I think we're down to 19,000 cabs on the road. How many of us? 21,000 of us?
Yeah, well, it's 21 now. It's down to 19 vehicle-wise. But
19 vehicles and 21 of us.
But now, effectively, there's 5% more drivers than vehicles than there ever has been looking for cabs, right? You knew that there was going to be a problem with supply. Now, you're saying there'll be vehicles about to part-timers to take out of the weekends. Well, garages won't be able to have vehicles sitting about just waiting for someone to come in.
Where that driver had the old cab, or where it's old, but there's none around. There is none around. None of the part-time workers sweeping up the busy times when we need them.
Because them cabs are for full-time drivers, yeah? And also, what I'd like to mention is this is going to be the... What we've said as well is, and what we tried to say to TFL, is that this is going to be the death knell of the suburban driver.
100%. But they can't afford. I mean, I sold a cab. I sell newer cabs to people, and I never get bothered with buying the older ones because sometimes they're a bit of trouble, but I have to sieve out the good ones. And last week I sold a 60 plate, and the guy was ringing me every single week. Is it in yet? Is it in yet? Is it in yet? Those suburban drivers I see in this trade just as important as a green badge, because they bring the work in and we bring the work out. So we need them to bring the work into London. If we haven't got them, our trade's going to be under threat even more.
Of course, sir. And who's going to fill that void?
Exactly. Who is? At Uber, you've got all the other rats to start firing up. So that's why I just can't see a way out of it. I really, really can't, unless they license these cabs, give us back the 15 years. But even so, we haven't got a decent cab to buy. We're looking at these Nissans, okay? Nissan, I'm promising this Nissan. Well, where are they? We've had one on the road. I mean, we're like a laughing stock.
Well, I went to the...
They released this cab to everyone to buy, and I can only ever see one, the same number plate, EJ9Z. It's the same one to take all the pictures on. Where's that?
Well, I went...
And that's going to be no good.
Last week, I went to the launch, and you're right, there's one. And it's all very well, this mayor getting kudos for having an electric cab in London. But like you said, there's 19,000 drivers with one vehicle. Yeah. What the hell's this? Yeah? And what I'm finding out is that they're not actually buying them from Nissan, I believe. I've heard lately
they're not
buy them from independent dealers. And people are having to give them deposits of 10 grand or 7 grand. And they're building them as they go along. Now, if there was a problem and they had the deposits and they couldn't buy the cabs to convert, what's going to happen with that? This is rubbish, Aaron, and we've stood the free card trick But it, but the frustrating thing I have sitting in front of you on the radio talking is everything we're telling you about me and Danny go to the meetings and we're telling TFL that's wrong. You can't make policy on promises. You don't even know the number of knowledge candidates. You don't know the number of drivers. We're a bloody lone voice.
Oh, no.
No one else backs us up.
Oh, no.
And where you
would... Do you know what someone told me? It does stand to reason in my head, and maybe it's not true. I might be literally throwing something out there. It's not true. But this de-licensing could be funded by Uber, being all with TFL, because where they get this money from is TFL is so-called in debt. Tell me that.
No. Wow. I mean, that's probably...
You just don't know. That's the thing, we don't know. But the most annoying thing for me as well is that...
Yeah, but Darren, I'll tell you what. I'm glad you just mentioned that in a sentence. The most annoying thing for me was... I've got to tell you, the most annoying thing for us was that we was going to a meeting, weren't we, Dan? And they cancelled it on the Friday with you, didn't they?
That's right, yeah.
About the de-licensing scheme. Steve McNamara and Jim Which Kelly role, had a private meeting with Ellen Chapman and the woman Gonzalez, who the club made an official complaint against, yeah, after she admitted telling James Farah at Christmas, oh, don't worry about you private hire drivers having to pay the congestion charge because the cab drivers are going to get 12 years. And I'd met James Farah in the day and I said to her, we're getting 12 years. This is a sham, this consultation. She said, no, no, no. And I put her on the spot and said, I'm going to take James Farah to our lawyers and get him to sign an affidavit that you did tell him that. I'm going to ask you one more time. Did you tell James Farah, who represents the Uber drivers, did you tell him we was going to get 12 years? She said, yes. Right? And that very same woman... who the club made an official complaint against, was holding secret meetings with Steve McNamara and Jim Kelly on the Monday. Yeah? Mm. What does that tell you? So they pushed this de-licensing scheme through that is going to kill the cab trade, right? But listen, don't worry, you guys out there who's lost 3 years of every cab because you got your legal cover, yeah?
What figure would you... All right, I'll ask you a question, Grant. We're talking. If, say, I go back to my dad in this scenario, so he wanted another 2-3 years, what would you value those 3 years of being on the road? Because I've got a figure in my head, and it's quite a lot of money, isn't it, with those 3 years that every taxi driver's losing. I know it sounds not bad, yeah, they've only lost 3 years, but if you actually put that down pen to paper, what do you think that is? Because I've got a figure.
Well, I think it'd be north of 40 grand at least, yeah?
Easily.
And what they're saying to you...
Can you tell me why LTDA are not fighting this for us? Or you... No, listen. I love you to death, I know you, but you haven't got their funds. Like, if you had their funds, we wouldn't be in this situation. We've had the discussion before. But why aren't they fighting this for us?
100%.
This is another thing. They've got the money there to go for it, haven't they?
Well, I don't know. If you look at this year's accounts, they lost £1 million last year. And the LTDA Enterprises owes them $1.5 million. So I don't know how their accounts are working.
And if they carry on going the way they're going, they're going to be bankrupt within a year or so.
Yeah. And I think they're selling the Woodfield Road building like a bit of equity release, where if you can sell that building for X, get a new one for Y, put Z in the bank, that can pay your money every week until you want to retire. I don't know. What's Steve McNamara, 60? Say he'll have enough money in the bank to pay himself to 65 and he can jump and go, yeah, and leave the cab trade, yeah?
Well, I've been a member with you, Grant, for a long, long time. And,
you have?
And I've got to say, you work harder than a lot of... I'm not going to say everyone because I might get in trouble for saying it, but you work bloody hard with what you've got in front of you and my hat's off to you every time. You know that. I say that to you all the time. I just wish there's a way out, but unfortunately, I don't think if we had millions and billions in the bank, there's a way out.
Well, I just think...
I can't see there's a way.
Yeah, but even the when you look at what the club's got, like you say, compared to what others have got, is minuscule, right? We've managed to get one of the top licensing lawyers in the country, John Halford, who in the next edition of the badge, you'll see the letter that he sent to TfL, the five-page letter that he sent, Darren, to TfL over the Uber booking process. Now,
yeah.
If you know, it's there, look, it's there. You can see it in there, right? Look, see it in there. I mean, we're tying TfL up in knots over making Uber spill the beans on their booking process, right? How can we do all this out of a room in Bermondsey with full-time cab drivers like me, Danny Scarp, Alan McGrady, Mark White, Mickey Walker? I mean, I'll be honest, it's bloody scandalous, to be honest, yeah? But it's up to the drivers, you know, if they want legal cover on a job that ain't going to be there anymore. It's up to them.
I don't think you're wrong in saying the job won't be anymore. I think there'll always be a trade for us there. We're wanted as a trade.
Yeah, but Darren, the point I'm making is, why is it for us we're always fighting? Yeah?
Yeah.
We're fighting about Uber being licensed without regulatory checks. We're fighting about what's happening with us with a 12-year age limit. We're fighting about all these private hire drivers with fake documents, right? Why is it we have to keep fighting all the bloody time, yeah?
There's a cab driver, we'd screw him.
It's bigger than that. TfL know they can kick us around, right? Because in my opinion, the biggest trade org doesn't put any big defence up of the cab trade, right?
I agree, totally.
And if you know that, if you're TfL and you know the LTDA's got half the members of the cab trade, they say 10,000, right? But when's the last time you ever saw LTDA threatening over 12 years medical? It's never going to happen. And when I put it to Steve Macker and said, Steve, look, how come, mate, you never have a go at TfL in the paper because it speaks to the trade. He said, I don't see the value in it, yeah? Now, if you and I know the way the cab trade's being treated and has been for years and years, right? If you don't see any value in pulling them up, calling them to task, putting your opposition and your different opinion to TfL and saying to the cab trade at wide, to the rest of the cab trade, this is what we think. Do you believe we're right, yeah, to go against TfL? Why would you never even want to have that conversation?
There's obviously ulterior motives there somewhere.
I'll give up now.
It's got to be. There's no other reason why they shouldn't be. This is what. It's just the whole thing. It goes back to, if we all stuck together as a trade, and going back to.
Yeah, but we've had that, Darren. I'll never forget, right? You get all them cab drivers, we all know them. I'm not in nothing, right? If the orgs all come together, I'll join something. And then we had all that United Trade Group doing all that stuff. They still never joined. We do, there's the people there that make excuses up for not joining anything all day long, yeah? Oh, I didn't like what Grant said. I don't like Steve McNamara. I'm not a union man. They got more excuses than you've had at dinners, mate, yeah? And until the cab trade wakes up and thinks, like, you know what?
The most annoying thing is that the actual money that we pay to a union is tax deductible anyway. So it don't cost you anything to join.
That's
the most annoying thing at all.
Listen,
Why doesn't anyone join the union? All right, I'm on your show. I love you, Grant, right? I've got to say. I'm on your show. We're in dire straits with everything what we need to be. Tell me why. How much is the fees a month? So I can't remember. I don't even see it going out the bank account because I don't know. How much is it, Grant?
25 pence a day, yeah.
Right, 25 pence a day to put like someone like yourself who's doing these radio shows, who's fighting for our trade every single day, whatever, giving up his own time. And why can't they put the 25 pence into your pocket to fight against all these issues that we've got ahead of us? It just beggars belief, Grant. So what chance have we got as a trade in general when you've got someone standing there going, oh, you know what, I can't believe this. I've got to give my cap up. I've lost 2 years. Well, I'm not saying joining your club's going to be the be-all and end-all of getting this trade back on its feet, but at least give it a chance.
Yeah, I couldn't have put it any better, Darren.
Darren?
I'm being honest, though. But
I know, checks in the post.
From the half, right? I love this trade. My family have been in this since Horsedrawn, and I don't want to see this trade go. I can see what's going to happen. This trade won't go, but we'll be driving around in these electric vehicles in the next 5 to 10 years, all sitting there at charging points, all costing us an arm and leg, and then maybe bringing our wages down because we're paying so much for the cab to be on the road. So we will be there, but it's just our outgoings are going to be double expensive.
Yeah, but
and who's going to want to do it if we've got these big outgoings?
And on the back of that, Darren, about our outgoings up and up, we're now having massive rows with Transport for London because they're saying our fares are too expensive, right?
Well, everyone wants a piece of our pie. You look, when I first started, I had the meat for myself. Now, if you look at it, I go to work, I've got apps that take money off me, I've got credit card that takes money off me, I've got running day to day costs I can understand. But when you've got these apps and our credit cards, why are we paying? Tell me why we're paying to put these credit cards in our vehicles and we're charging the customers. The other week I went around the corner from my house. I went to go and get a kebab. When I walked in, it said cash only. I had to go to the cash machine to draw out my money, which cost me £1.20. I had to go and get the cash, go and get that, give that to the shop, and then they took the cash. And I said to them, do you know what? I've just paid £6-7, but I've paid another £1.20 to draw the money out to give you the cash. But we don't have that say. We're just told, right, this is your card machine. We're even advertising their services, MasterCard, on our windows. We're giving them free advertising on our windows, and we're paying for every transaction. Can you tell me why we're in that state? How have we got there as well? That's another big gripe for me. If we want to take cards, fair enough, we take cards. But why are we paying per transaction? And if you remember, looking at all these card payments at the moment we've got going ahead with the cab trade, it started off very small. But if you notice, over year after year, they're reeling you in, because they know that we haven't got a choice. We've got to go to these card machines. So we're in effect, every day our takings are dropping because of using card. I take card, I always have done, but I've never paid the amount of prices we've paid, like going out to work tonight, if I went to work. It's just wrong.
Listen, Darren, we're just coming up towards the hour, mate, so we're going to take a break. We're going to take
a break for a little while. Chat all day. Sorry, guys.
No, that's all right. Thanks for calling in, Darren. But we're going to take a quick break while Grant goes and buys the pizzas, courtesy of Scott Fenwick's subs this month.
And we're done. We got, just to let you go before we go, we sorted out the Heathrow, didn't we, with that? We've done that, got that sorted, Mark.
Mark ain't here.
They've stopped working with the police, and police are supposedly looking into it as well. With regard to the touting aspect. So.
But Darren, thanks very much for calling
in,
mate.
Darren.
Really appreciate
it. All the best, Grant. Come in for a service soon. I want to see you.
Okay, love. I will do. Thank you,
Danny.
Darren
was in today. Danny come in today.
Oh, okay. Lovely. All right. Darren, keep well, yeah?
And you, take care, boys.
God bless.
Good luck, everyone.
Cheers, Darren.
Thank you, mate.
Cheers, mate.
Thank you. Bye, Darren.
Right, we're going to take a break in a minute, but just before you do, just something that will really please everyone that's listening out there. Extinction Rebellion are planning 12 days of Christmas protests. Dates and locations and what to expect are going to be announced soon. They are saying that the Christmas protests reckon are going to outdo their latest demonstrations, so you've got that to look forward to in the future.
Well, when you think that the mayor, flip-flop, said that he backed Extinction Rebellion in against the police,
yeah,
and then the next day said, oh, what they're doing was wrong and stuff. You got a mayor like that, no wonder the place
flip-flop
is a mess.
Place. Yeah, we're going to take a break. We'll be back in a little while, once Grant's gone and got pizzas and we've eaten them, and we'll be back after that. So we'll see you soon. Thanks very much.